There we can separate out the urban landscape into layers, layering space, and we can layer urban landscape temporarily, of course. This shows Chester in 1500, but we could create a map for 1300, 1000. So you can layer, through GIS, you can layer time and space, of course. Two challenges we're trying to deal with, which I'd be interested in your reactions. The first concerns how we translate a desktop GIS like these to a web-based or distributed GIS using different kinds of online mapping platforms. I'm going to say a little bit about that and show you what so far we have done. And I think all of what we have done is still unsatisfactory as far as web delivery of GIS is concerned, spatial data. The other thing I would say, assuming I don't run out of time, about what are we doing this for? You know, we put all of this data together, integrating lots of different spatial data. What is it achieving in terms of research agendas, intellectual agendas? What are the big questions, even on a global scale, which concern us, in my case, as a medievalist, somebody interested in medieval towns and cities? How can this help us to understand the past? I've got some ideas, but again, it's your response I'm interested in. Now, do you know Hypercities? Is this familiar? Hypercities, and this is a project organised by University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA. Walking Through Time, an app for your smartphone, which was supposed to be produced by Edinburgh University. Okay, that has never come to anything. Okay, so that's redundant. Hypercities does work, actually. There are lots of different ways of serving our mapping information, our GIS, our spatial data. And some of these appear to offer a lot. You know, they promise much, but actually often deliver little. And I'm still struggling with finding ways of reaching out to a broader public and scientific community using the internet, using our distributed GIS data. I have a series of projects over a number of years now, they're listed at the bottom there, where in each of those we have created some sort of online mapping. But as you'll see in a minute, they all have slightly, you know, they're problematic in their own way. The latest one is this one, Discover Medieval Chester, which, is this internet connected? No, okay. Well, if you want to have a look at it. Which is not too bad. Much better than this, which was an earlier form of the web. This is the kind of thing I mean. It's unattractive. I mean, cartographically, it's not attractive. It has limited functionality. Okay, you can't search, you can't query. You can turn layers on and off, yes, but you can pan and zoom. This is slightly better. Although actually this is older, this came from about 10 years ago with the Archaeology Data Service at the University of York. But again, it's very technical, it's not intuitive. If you imagine my dad wants to use this, you're like, wow, you know, what do I do? What do I press? You know, it's too complicated, it's not intuitive enough. Although, you know, technically it's, I think, superior than the previous one. This is what people relate to, is it not? Google Earth, you know, Google Images, it's on your fancy, it's on your phone and all the rest of it. So there are ways and means of bringing in through the GIS data, in this case for our Chester work, some layers and dropping it into Google Earth, and you can pan and zoom, you can use transparency, you can relate. You're looking at a modern version of a map of medieval Chester. It's Chester 1500 is the top layer, so to speak, projected onto modern day Google Earth imagery, so you can connect the two. And this is the latest thing we've been working on. It's an atlas of the city of Derry, stroke Londonderry. I'm from Northern Ireland. Well, I'm not from Northern Ireland, I live in Northern Ireland, and we have a very complicated history in Ireland. So Londonderry is one way of writing Derry, and Derry is another way of writing city with sort of two personalities. Anyway, it's based upon the historic towns atlases, which Sandrine might mention in the case of Bordeaux, but you know, the historic towns atlases are all over Europe, one for Derry, throughout Londonderry. And we've been trying to create an online version of this, a digitised, interactive version of the atlas. And this is using ARC server, if anybody's... It relies on Esri, which is expensive. Not everybody has access to Esri. But again, it's reasonably usable, but maybe not totally intuitive. So I have lots of different platforms. All of these are different kinds of ways of doing the same thing. But I don't think any of them is particularly satisfying. Intuitive, attractive, degree of functionality, all of these things are important. So, going from a desktop GIS to distributed GIS is one challenge, I think. How am I doing for time? Is that 5 minutes? Okay, the second issue is to do with research agendas, and two which we have been addressing, I suppose, through our research. And I'm sure, again, this will be common to many of us around the room, because what a GIS does, what it can do, is convert qualitative data, i.e. a paper map, into quantitative or quantifiable data. And that's a really useful thing to do, to begin to quantify qualitative sources, documentary sources, for example, or cartographic sources, even archaeological sources. And we can begin to identify patterns, things that we couldn't otherwise see. So hidden histories can begin to emerge through this. And we can also begin to make comparisons over time and space, as we were talking about, Bastien, this morning. So these are ways in which we might be able to shape research agendas. The question I am asked when I'm doing this research is, well, what new questions can we create, can we pose on the back of these projects? What are the new questions? What are the new challenges? Not answering old questions, but formulating new questions. Questions we don't yet even know, let alone the answers. We don't yet know the questions. So one example is, not only do I work on medieval urban landscapes, I also work on medieval maps. And this is, on the right-hand side, a map of Britain, circa 1370, called the Goth Map. And what we were interested in doing here is evaluating the, cartographic truthfulness of that map. It looks, on the right-hand side, as if it's an from medieval map. It looks like it's a fairly accurate map in modern terms. The coastline of Britain is recognisable. So we were able to digitise the map, bring it into a GIS, use the point data for each of the points shown on the map, the places, the settlements, and within this piece of software called Map, has anyone know Map Analyst? Is that familiar, Map Analyst? Mm-hmm. To create this, it's called a distortion grid. And what that distortion grid shows is the way in which the map sometimes exaggerates space and sometimes compresses space. So it shows you how the cartographer, who we don't know, was mapping Britain in the 14th century. And if you've got squares which look fairly square, if it's fairly square looking uniform, the squares are uniform, then it's a pretty good fit between the modern map and the medieval map. And where you've got exaggerated space, you get these different kind of curves. So we can begin to excavate, using an archaeological metaphor, a map by quantifying a qualitative source and finding out new things about medieval cartography. We can create maps of new towns, in this case, very much like the bastides of southwest France and the northwest of Wales. There were new towns created by King Edward I, and all of these maps are generated using GIS, integrating different kinds of data sources and comparing them qualitatively. But we can also begin to quantify these comparisons. And in this case, just comparing two towns, we can see a really close fit in the morphology, in the design of Conwy, with the design of a slightly later town, but not very far away, Beaumaris. In terms of the T-shaped street pattern, it's the same in both places. We didn't know that before, but now, you know, this is something new. And where we might want to go with this is actually taking an even more statistical or analytical approach to this, comparing towns, looking at urban design in the Middle Ages. Not much is known from documentary sources about this, but the street patterns, in this case for these two towns, Winchelsea and Midland, can be analysed using the vector data. So we can measure the angles of the street intersections and compare these and see if there's any similarities. If there are similarities, what does that mean? You know, is it significant? So there are certain advantages to quantifying otherwise qualitative data and looking for these patterns and forms across time and space. So that's the other concern for us, is to continue to ensure that we are not simply collecting data for the sake of it, that we're actually addressing and trying to shape, indeed, research agendas in medieval studies, in that case, with our research, okay, as well as finding these mapping platforms. So I'm sure I've said enough, so thank you very much for bearing with me. I look forward, obviously, to hearing whatever